Good morning, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome to UBS's Top of the Morning podcast. So this time of year, the thought of a New Year's resolution enters into the minds of many as we will soon turn the page on what was a challenging and unprecedented 2020. Today, we will discuss some New Year's resolutions to consider for your portfolio in 2021. We will also touch on what vaccine deployment will mean for the economic recovery, the path forward for equity markets, as well as the importance of portfolio diversification for the year ahead and beyond. So joining me for today's conversation, glad to welcome back both Jason Draho, Head of Asset Allocation for the Americas, as well as David Lefkowitz, Head of Equities for the Americas, both from the UBS Chief Investment Office. Jason, David, it's great to be with you both this morning. Hope you had nice weekends and looking forward to our conversation today.
All right, thank you, Dan. Good to be here.
Good to be here also.
So, Jason, I know as we approach the conclusion of 2020, many are beginning to think about resolutions for the year ahead. Now, with respect to planning for one's financial future, what are some portfolio resolutions that investors may want to consider for 2021?
So, in our CIO letter that we published last Thursday, we identified, I guess, like seven portfolio resolutions that investors can kind of address. And I'll go into a couple of them in a little more depth, but mention them all. First is just to, you know, review your financial plan after this year of, you know, kind of almost unprecedented and historical kind of developments. Clearly, I think investors have gone through a bit of a roller coaster from declines in March to the rally now to a point where the, you know, the returns for equity markets are, you know, plus 10% for the S&P 500. So just assessing your portfolio, where it stands, how does it align to your long-term targets? But it's also, I think this year is a good example of where you really need to have a good financial plan in place. And I think using our three L's of liquidity, longevity and legacy as a framework to think about that planning, I think will help you get through years like this. Hopefully we don't repeat one like this anytime soon, but I think that's one thing, just make sure that you have the proper plan in place. A second resolution, a little more tactically, is that you need to position for more upside in equities, but to diversify those investments into, you know, the areas of the market that perhaps, you know, lagged and could outperform. So just last week, as part of the update from MSU, we made small cap equities in the U.S., but also in the rest of developed markets, into the most preferred category, so upgrading from mutual. This matches a, you know, most preferred status we've had for mid cap equities for about the past 6 months. So that's one area where we think there could be more upside, and, you know, David could get into some of the details on that, and along with some of the equity sector preferences as well. And then just some of the other kind of resolutions include, look for ways to boost the yield in your portfolio. It's a very low rate world. I think you have to sort of be a little more creative and thoughtful in terms of how you generate income in your portfolio. Another resolution is to think about the fact that we expect the dollar to weaken over the next year, and then you should reposition your portfolio accordingly, which also means ultimately kind of looking outside of the U.S. for different opportunities. A fifth resolution is kind of more in the long-term perspective of your repositioning for what we call the next big thing. You know, some dominant ideas that could really drive markets and be the leaders for the markets for the next decade. You know, whether it's things like, you know, green tech, fintech, you know, healthcare, things like that. Sixth is to make your portfolio more sustainable. Sustainable investments have done very well this year, and I think that's something that's going to be an ongoing theme for the next couple of years and really the next decade. And the seventh and final resolution is you need to diversify some of your public equity allocation to private markets. You have very good performance this year and really for the past decade for public equities. I think our return outlooks for really the next decade for returns is definitely much more modest. So I think investors have to look for other areas, especially in private markets, for some potential opportunities. So those are some of the resolutions that I think that investors should think about, you know, beyond just the near-term markets view, but like thinking about for the portfolios overall.
Thank you, Jason. And I know we'll dive a bit deeper into equities with David Lefkowitz a bit later in the conversation. Quickly, though, for our listeners and our clients, I do want to point out that the monthly letter you referenced just a few moments ago is that of Mark Haefeli, Global Chief Investment Officer for UBS CIO, and that is now available up on UBS Online Services. Again, the monthly letter, New Year's Portfolio Resolutions, as part of the January UBS House View publication suite. So, Jason, as a follow-up, I know we have closely been tracking the development of several COVID-19 vaccines. We do have some good news this morning with respect to the distribution of the Pfizer vaccines, but with distribution of these vaccines on a global scale expected to roll out more so as we progress through the first half of 2021, what are the implications, Jason, of this to economic recovery here in the U.S.?
Well, in the very short term, like right now and into the first quarter, we're going to probably see some continued weakness and slowing of the U.S. economy. And same thing would apply to Europe because of increased restrictions that have been put in place as we've seen the COVID cases rise across the country. I mean, you can just see that in some of the unemployment numbers and job market numbers, that the recovery in the labor market has definitely slowed over the past couple of months. So there'll be some weakness in the near term. But the good news is that with the vaccines now being rolled out, and I believe today that we should get the first patients in the U.S. who actually get the vaccines, that the outlook as we move into the middle of next year definitely becomes more positive. So the point that growth in the U.S. should be recovering, accelerating, ultimately be above sort of long-term trend for 2021. The exact timing of how soon people will get the vaccine, I think there's certainly some guesswork involved. But it's likely that by April timeframe that about 50% of Americans, could have the vaccination, which means we get sort of herd immunity probably by the end of the second quarter. Once that happens, the pandemic should definitely be far more under control, and they get a normalization of economic activity by, hopefully by the summer in the U.S., Europe, kind of following very kind of quickly on hand, then other parts of the world, emerging markets kind of by the end of the year. So if that materializes, then that implies definitely a stronger economic recovery as we move throughout 2021.
Now, David, what about the implications to earnings growth? I know you recently authored the piece, U.S. Equities 2021 Outlook. The runway looks clear, so you'll expand a bit on that. That piece also now available up on UBS Online Services for our listeners and clients. But curious to hear about implications of vaccine deployment to earnings growth, as well as how this will all translate to performance of risk assets in 2021.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. I think we're going to see a pretty powerful recovery in earnings growth as we go through 2021 and beyond. I mean, I think it's really important to bear in mind that this downturn has not been a normal downturn in the sense that it really wasn't driven by problems with the economy and imbalances in the economy. It was driven by a health crisis that prompted the closure of certain segments of the economy. So there's less, sort of imbalances that need to be wrung out. And there's been this unprecedented amount of government support and government aid, as we all know. So what that means is as these vaccines get distributed, we should see a pretty robust recovery in economic activity as well as, and therefore earnings growth. And you're starting to see it already. I mean, the last two quarters, we've seen a pretty impressive rebound in corporate profits, much, much better than what bottom-up analysts had been expecting. Earnings in the last two quarters beat estimates by 20 percentage points, which is, really off the charts in terms of the historical experience. So, we think that momentum definitely continues into 21. As a result, we're looking for 26% earnings growth next year. Now, when we look at the historical record, and we talked about this in our Outlook piece that you referenced, when we look at the historical record and you get earnings growth of that magnitude, you do tend to see some valuation compression. Just looking at history, valuation compression, if you look at the PE ratio, for instance, valuation compression of something around 10% would be in line with history, maybe it's slightly higher. So, mid-20s percent earnings growth, low double-digit valuation compression, you're still looking at a low double-digit return for U.S. stocks in 2021. That's essentially our base case as we go into next year. I would say the other thing just, to mention on valuation, you typically don't see big valuation declines, unless we get some sort of growth scare, which is possible, right? I mean, there's always something that the markets worry about. It's possible that we see something like that, not our base case for next year. We're just in the very early stages of this economic recovery. So, any growth setback is likely to be modest. Or the other thing that drives a valuation compression would be some sort of rate shock. In other words, rates moving up to an extent that they become more problematic for the growth outlook. And that, too, seems pretty unlikely. Just given that the Fed has signaled they're going to be on hold for quite a long time, and they're going to even be tolerant of inflation that runs modestly higher than their target. So, you know, as we put everything together, pretty powerful earnings recovery. Fed remains very much, you know, on sides and in no signaling that they're willing to take away the punch bowl anytime soon. This is still a pretty good environment for risk assets and equities in particular.
So the momentum heading into 2021, David, sounds encouraging. How should investors think about positioning for this anticipated next leg higher in equities?
Yeah, so, you know, we've seen a huge bifurcation in performance this year, as I'm sure most people are aware. You know, it's really been the growth stocks that have really dominated performance this year. Now, that's started to change since the vaccine news first came out from Pfizer in early November, and we've seen a rotation into some of the more cyclical areas and some of the areas that have been most impacted by the pandemic, most negatively impacted. And we think that that continues. So what that means is getting a bit more cyclical within equities. And in terms of our current positioning, if you look at our sector preferences, that's exactly how we are positioned. We have most preferred views on three cyclicals: industrials, consumer discretionary, and financials. Consumer discretionary is a little bit of a mixture in terms of cyclical and secular growth. And then on the other side of that, if you look at our defensive, our recommendations within defensives, we have least preferred views on a few of the defensives: utilities, consumer staples. You know, real estate is also a least preferred. It actually has been behaving more defensive rather than cyclical in recent years. And then finally, the one defensive that we do like is healthcare, where valuations just look extraordinarily low, and we think that result that is due to some policy uncertainty around potential healthcare reform. We think a lot is being priced in, more than what's likely to come down the pike. So we think the risk reward there looks interesting. So, you know, within sectors, we think getting a bit more cyclical makes a lot of sense as we go forward. Now, in terms of size, also, Jason mentioned, you know, getting a little bit more cyclical by taking by tilting our portfolios more towards smaller size segments. So we've had a longstanding most preferred view on midcaps, which we put on in May. We enhanced that or extended that by adding the position on small caps, a preference for small caps. Small and midcaps are more cyclical, as I mentioned. They tend to outperform in the early stages of an economic expansion, and we think that will be the case here as well. We're seeing a very powerful recovery in earnings for both of those segments, and valuations still look pretty low. We're neutral on growth versus value, and really prefer to take this cyclical positioning within size segments at this point.
Thank you, David. And I do want to point out that in addition to the equity market outlook piece that you've been referencing, I know your equity sector colleagues put out a equity sector outlook piece for 2021 as well. And throughout the course of this week, we will be having several conversations rolling out Top of the Morning, specifically on healthcare, energy, industrials, materials, financials. Some more equity sector conversations to come throughout the course of this week that our listeners can look forward to. Jason, I want to follow up on a point you talked about earlier. You did mention the importance of having a diversified portfolio heading into next year. So, Jason, what are some positioning plays investors can consider in order to achieve diversification in a portfolio?
Starting with equities, I think, you know, David, you talked obviously about the sector preferences in the U.S. and the size, you know, moving down to small caps. I think that's a good way to add diversification, in part because I think a lot of our clients and investors have been probably over-allocated to, you know, large cap, you know, growth names. So I think this is a good chance to kind of diversify out of that. By the same token, they've been concentrated heavily into U.S. equities. So, you know, given the outperformance they've experienced for the past 5 or 6 years. So in addition to, you know, upgrading, you know, small caps to be most preferred in the U.S., we did the same for developed markets, largely for the same reasons. I think that the same kind of earnings recovery, you know, should materialize next year. Valuations versus large cap stocks are attractive. So that's an area from an international perspective to look more attractive. EM value is another area that we've liked that, you know, should again kind of catch up. You know, value stocks in EM in particular, I think, you know, look attractive within the value space. and EM in general are equities that tend to do well when the dollar weakens. And this applies across all international equity markets, that, you know, a weaker dollar means higher returns in dollars. So all else equal, that's a benefit to or tailwind to international equities. But also dollar weakness generally is positive for EM equity market economic performance. So those areas within equity markets to diversify, you know, in fixed income, still maintaining some exposure to treasuries and safe fixed income is a provides kind of balance to your portfolio. But within that, we still like, you know, TIPS as a way to kind of give for some protection for, you know, higher inflation expectations, not so much higher inflation. What we've seen inflation expectations rise, you know, a week ago, they rose 15 basis points in 1 week. So that will give you some protection if inflation expectations rise, but they're still, you know, government guaranteed. So there's actually relatively low risk, and they should do well if interest rates decline. And then gold is also another potential diversifier, which has done very well for parts of the year, pulled back in, you know, in November, but just even again over the past couple of weeks has kind of rallied a little bit. If we have a situation where it is either kind of reflationary or really risk off, where real interest rates decline, gold will do well. And that's what happened a couple of weeks ago. So that's something, another asset class that again can provide some diversification to a portfolio to hedge from what is otherwise looks to be a, you know, positive economic environment next year. But you want to have some things in your portfolio that work for different reasons, for different scenarios. And those are a few ideas that we like.
Thanks, Jason. And as we begin to close out in terms of positioning, I know the Chief Investment Office has been very forward-thinking, talking about positioning ideas for the next decade. So before we close out, to circle back on that next big thing, Jason, that you spoke about towards the top of our conversation, looking at longer term, what are some economically influential themes that you anticipate will unfold over the next decade that investors can position for today?
Actually, maybe then David could probably dive into some of the rationale for some of these ideas better than I can, so I'll pass the buck over to him.
Okay, thanks, Jason. Yeah, I mean, what we try to do in order to identify some of these term trends over the next decade is, you know, look at what drives outsized performance over long periods of time. And you know, look, not surprisingly, it is segments and companies within the marketplace that can produce very rapid earnings growth. And when I say that, when I say very rapid, I'm talking about, you know, at least 15% annually over the next decade. And as we survey the landscape, we've identified a few of these areas: health tech, fintech, green tech, and 5G, as segments within the economy and within the markets where we do think you're going to see that kind of growth over the next decade. That there's a lot of innovation happening in all of these segments. So not only will new markets be created, but, you know, we think some of these companies will you know, sort of be disruptive and be taking market share from existing players. And that presents some great opportunities for earnings growth over the next decade. And as I said, I think, you know, these four areas that we mentioned look ripe to see some of that very outsized earnings growth that is really a key ingredient for driving share price appreciation. So, yeah, I don't think we're going to talk about them, or I don't know if we can talk about them in this forum, but we have specific stocks that we've identified that are associated with all of these themes. And we think these stocks are very well positioned over the next 10 years.
To that point, to our clients listening in, if you would like to learn more about the individual stock lists associated with these themes, health tech, fintech, green tech, 5G, do be sure to consult with your UBS financial advisor in order to learn more. But David and Jason, very productive and insightful conversation to close the book on our series of CIO strategy snapshot conversations that we've had over the past year. I know through it all, you and your colleagues helped our listeners navigate their portfolios through some pretty difficult periods. So with much to look forward to on the horizon, very much looking forward to picking back up where we left off in the new year. And thank you again for your insights this morning, David and Jason, and over the past year. Greatly appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Dan. It's been a pleasure doing it this year. And I just for our listeners, just wish everyone a safe and happy holidays and you know, better times ahead, hopefully in 2021.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. Appreciate it, and thanks everyone for listening. And Jason said it well. Best of the new year, and everyone stay safe.
Absolutely. Likewise, guys, and we'll speak again soon. And again, this morning we have been joined by Jason Dreho, Head of Asset Allocation for the Americas, as well as David Lefkowitz, Head of Equities for the Americas with the UBS Chief Investment Office. So before we close out this morning, a couple of items that I'd like to share. The publications that Jason and David have been referencing this morning are the UBS Houseview Monthly Letter, New Year's Portfolio Resolutions. Again, that letter was authored by Mark Haefeli, Global Chief Investment Officer for UBS CIO. That letter is part of the broader UBS Houseview publication suite, as well as U.S. Equities 2021 Outlook, The Runway Looks Clear. So for UBS clients, be sure to reach out to your financial advisor if you would like to receive a copy of these publications directly, though they can both now be located up on UBS Online Services for your reference. Top of the Morning, we'll be back again for you tomorrow morning. Have a great day, everyone.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.